and I got a particular set of information which was quite interesting about a patent filed by Microsoft. And it was patent number 060606, and which is, of course, randomly generated, they say. And I got a picture of the patent with some difficulty. This took days, actually. And it had all the details of what it planned to do, basically connect the brain to the computer system and connect everybody and so on in the world with this system. And it's quite advanced, and they're trying to put it into practice, and they've got a patent on it. And I got all the details, and I forwarded it to several people, and I forward things all the time, and every single time it was blocked and came back to me, undeliverable, contained spam. Well, it doesn't, because it came to me without any spam whatsoever. And I tried to forward it to myself on different devices, on different email addresses, didn't work. And in the end, I beat the system using Microsoft's own system. I put it on a Word document, sent it with an innocuous sounding headline, say, an interesting document, attached it and sent it around to people, so they got it anyway. But it was a real struggle, and it's never happened to me before. So obviously I'm on someone's watch list, which is probably a good thing. It means that we're having some effect, hopefully. another thing I was going to say, if this goes ahead and I can actually put forward all the things I've got, it would be a good idea, because we're a few in number here, it would be quite a good idea to get it and pass it around and buy some copies of it, because it's getting harder to disseminate this. Some of the websites that have got really good things on, you try and actually, here we go, we're getting somewhere. You try and actually send them around, suddenly the link's not there anymore, particularly if you actually come against the Bill Gates virus campaign. Doctors who are trying to do it, they're threatened, and I'll be talking about that in a minute. And also, their links are just cut down, and it's strange. The number of things I've tried to get and been barred from doing so, suddenly they disappear from the web. Big tech is working against us, actually, and it's quite interesting that this is happening now. So here we go. We're going to get there. Slideshow from beginning. Great success. So thank you, Lord. We get there. Global panic, which is what is going on around the world, is leading towards global government. Governments now know that if they scare their populations, they can make them do almost anything, however needless and stupid and much of it is. I mean, people out in the open air leap behind trees if they see you coming towards them without a mask. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. Not necessary. The masks have no effect whatsoever, because they won't save you from any coronavirus. It's far too small. It will go through any mask, and so it's useless. It's just a symbol that someone's doing something. This is what's really happening. In June this year, the World Economic Forum hosted some of the top elites of the world, government leaders, business people, green activists, etc., and announced this interesting proposal to reset the global economy. And they're pushing for a reset of capitalism to have a cohesive and sustainable world. What it's basically in is bringing in world control by governments. The people have very little say behind it. Satan is behind this push for world government, hates capitalism, because it involves freedom. We have free choice, or have had up until this year, in this country at least. He prefers the opposite, which is bondage. If you're actually dependent on governments for everything, to tell you what to do in every circumstance, you are not a free person. The World Economic Forum will adopt a new twin summit format. Its next annual meeting is in Davos in Switzerland in January 2021. That's when they're going to try and completely change the world system and the reset by bringing together leaders from all around the world in person. They're also going to have virtual dialogues, and the theme is the Great Reset. Everything's going to be changed, and it won't be for the better. Now, the last time the world came together as one entity with one language, it didn't go well. Today's one world communication is via computers. The first time round in Babylon, the Lord reminded the world it was he who was in control, not the satanic evil present on earth. So Genesis 11:7, God said, come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. The Babylon spirit is being recreated in the world today. This has been going on for some decades. This is an EU poster depicting how they're recreating this spirit, speaking with one voice. It says, many tongues, one voice. This is what the EU chose to portray as its symbol, recreation of Babylon. So the church age is almost over. If the rapture is close, attempts like this World Economic Forum pushing for world government will top the agenda. WEF is another attempt by the godless elites who think they're already in control. They want to do everything possible to make one world come about and quickly. This idea has been around a long time, but it could only come around when there's instant global communication and a worldwide supposed crisis. And I say supposed. We are on the verge. This is what the late and unlamented David Rockefeller said. He had a lot to do with setting this up, 40, 50 years ago. He said this, we're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order. That's what you're seeing set up today. Satan is the author of confusion. We have an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan's always attempting to build his own kingdom on God's earth. If there's confusion or mayhem in any situation, and there certainly is around the world, there's often a source of darkness at work. Now we have to live, shop, work, travel in chaos created by misinformation, draconian rules and restrictions on perfectly healthy people. So I believe it's seconds to midnight. It would be significant to see one major sign, but as a talk I gave some time ago, there is a convergence of the signs all together, from the climate to the political situation to wars and rumours of wars. There are multiple prophetic signs that are converging. And of course, the main sign that set it all off in 1948 was the regathering of Jews to their new state of Israel in unbelief. And then, of course, as I'm going to be talking about later, the fast approach of the cashless society. We are living in the season of the Lord's return. Those of us here today in that time, the end of the age, the church age. Here's a prophecy about end times society, which probably sounds familiar if you look around. The signs of society, one of the signs of the end, the very end. Our Lord said, society will become increasingly lawless and immoral as the time approaches for his return. In fact, he said it will become as evil as it was in the days of Noah. That's from Matthew 24, chapter 12, verses 37 to 39. There's been an injection, not yet of the virus, but of fear, not of the vaccine, but of fear. Has fear been instilled in people so that they might be more willing to submit to authority? When people are afraid, and they certainly are, they ask government to do so much more. Oh, please bail us out. Please help us. Please give us a loan. So why are probable cases of COVID being counted as confirmed cases? What are the real figures? Today, I got some fascinating figures. Some real figures. The truth. More than 100,000 people across England, covering all sorts of ages and types, have tested themselves for SARS and COVID, etc., antibodies, at home, as part of a major research program led by Imperial College at London. The results suggest that by the end of June, about 6% of the entire population of the country may have had antibodies for the virus. That, 2 months ago, equated to about 3.4 million people. It indicates that they were likely to have been exposed to COVID-19. Pat and I think we had it in early January. The overall infection fatality ratio, the proportion of infected people who died, was calculated to be 0.9%. And of course, a lot of them were already old and sick, and a lot of the numbers were inflated because if they had three or four other things and they got coronavirus, that was included in the calculations of the numbers for corona deaths. So even going on their figures, 0.9%, the world's getting darker because we've turned our backs on God and we filled our brains with junk information. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, 18 to 21, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." It's unrighteous to suppress the truth. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, it's quite obvious that things like animals and flowers and trees and so on could not possibly have just happened. They were created by our Lord, as it says in Genesis. But big tech is blocking all criticisms of the COVID panic response. A lot of people are being gagged out there. That's why I say it's quite important. If you can get copies of this, I think they're £1 each, and send them around your friends, because they won't find this information in many other places. Free speech against what's going on is in short supply. One of the people I really respect is Jan Markell. And she wrote a couple of days ago, "This weekend, YouTube and Google decided that Understanding the Times Radio," that's a radio program she puts out, "was not keeping the proper narrative on COVID-1984. They took our radio programming down. They took it off the air. We likely lost at least 100,000 viewers who go on, click on and watch the videos. Here's just some of what was discussed. Contact tracing. Other risks to personal privacy. Will vaccines become mandatory? This is what they don't want you to discuss or know about." She says, "If we aren't careful, all our rights and freedoms could go in the name of health and safety. 99% of CV victims recover. So why are health professionals who try and speak the truth being condemned or marginalized? Big tech has its own narrative, and those who don't hold to that are being silenced. You expect this," says Jan, "in a banana republic. Why such mystery surrounding a flu-like illness from which 99% of its victims recover? Perhaps it's because the crisis the one world has cannot let go to waste, and the many questions it's raising may never find answers." I think this is very serious. Any doctor trying to expose CV hysteria is threatened or gagged. Pat's found various ones who've actually come on saying, "Well, it's quite simple to cure this. It's not a problem. We've done this, that, and the other. Don't need a vaccine." And in several cases, their health authorities in different states across America have come on to them and said, "If you don't keep quiet, you will lose your license to practice." And one said, "Well, I've got a wife and family to support. I have to keep practicing medicine, so I have to toe the line." They've got no choice, really, if they need their jobs, which most of them do. What was the supreme offence of a group of people who are trying to get the truth? They're all medical professionals. They're called America's Frontline Doctors. They spoke on the steps of the Supreme Court 2 weeks ago. Their message was stifled. None of the big tech giants wants their message out. One of the doctors has just been sacked by her hospital. Are masks a menace? Are they just setting the precedent for mandatory vaccines? "We wanted to broadcast all of the potential health problems from masks," said Jan. Not allowed to. They don't allow that, but anti-Semitism is allowed on Twitter. The Star of David is banned. Twitter removed the Stars of David and locked out users, claiming that use of the image and the users were violating their community standards. Their standards are pretty low. The Washington Post then exposed Twitter's response to Israeli ministers. When the shoe is on the other foot, it's a different story, you see. They were asking for the Iranian leadership's post be taken down. Twitter refused. The comments called for Israel's total destruction. Twitter said, "That's not hate speech. So you can't criticize a treatment of a virus, but you can criticize Israel and anyone who calls for its annihilation." For years, Iranian leaders have been tweeting their desire for the destruction of Israel, with one Iranian commander saying their goal is the total annihilation of Israel. This is what they said: "Israel is a malignant, cancerous tumor in the West Asia region that has to be removed and eradicated. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has said, among other statements, about his aim for the elimination of the Jewish state. And despite repeated requests from Israeli officials, Twitter has ignored calls to remove the tweets, calling them comments on current affairs. So there we are. Free speech to tech giants means you can attack Israel and Jews. This is what the Jerusalem Connection said this week. The cumulative effects of these types of incidents make the tide of anti-Semitism grow into a flood that becomes increasingly more acceptable to the general public. Thus, the drip of hate can accumulate into an overflowing bucket of hostility and eventually violence. And that is why you've got rising anti-Semitism all around the world. It's another sign that we're near the very end, when Israel's pressed right into a corner and the world tries to exterminate every Jew on the face of the earth. They won't succeed, but a lot of them will be killed. Holocaust deniers are still on Facebook. I got this from something called the No Denying It campaign. What all these anti-Semites should remember is this, from God's word: I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. From Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. All those who hate Israel, all those who boycott Israel, all organizations like the Co-op that try and discriminate against Israel and say, oh, we mustn't have anything from the settled territories and so on. They make me sick, actually. And they are cursed. They're bringing a curse on themselves. Iran is finished. It's doomed. They're bringing a curse on themselves. Anyone who curses Jews is going to get a sad reckoning one day. Willful ignorance in the world and the church about God's word is no excuse. There is a price to pay. A lot of these people will pay it 1 minute after they die. And the word says they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. When people abandon the knowledge of God, he gives them over to futile thinking. That's some of the things I'm trying to illustrate today, because we see it all around us. Nations choose their destiny. That's why it's vitally important that President Trump, though far from perfect, is the last best hope of the Western world. If he's defeated in November by fair means or foul, and believe me, they're trying to bring him down by all kinds of biased media reporting and every attempt you can imagine. If this person, Biden, and his vice president get in, America is finished. That will be the end for America. America will be no longer a great nation, and the West will suffer greatly. Let's remember Jeremiah 18, verse 8. If that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. This, of course, applied to Israel, but it also applies to us. Do we deserve to be spared the terrible prophesied future events? Is anyone interested in this kind of message that people are trying to get out and being stopped from doing so? What's the catalyst for the final crisis that's looming right now? It could be in months, not years, because they're conjuring up cash from thin air and it's a fool's paradise. It can't last. Cash is fast becoming redundant. Many businesses won't accept cash. To make big cash withdrawals, you have to answer nosy questions. What do you want it for? Mind your own business. One excuse for bringing in the cash to society is that banknotes carry germs, you see, and a lot more shops recently have stopped accepting them. To have a micro dot instead to do transactions will enable us all to stop wearing face masks. So most people will be happy. They'll think, oh, wonderful, they'll accept it. Cash will crash and the one world currency will be here soon, and world government will soon follow. The two have to go together. Digital currency is almost here. I found out some remarkable things about that this week. A new cashless system is so close to being fully operational that central banks can recklessly create money because they know that it doesn't really mean anything. It's being replaced. They may think, well, we might as well go out with a bang and throw money in all directions because soon it won't be money. The next monetary system will be digital, doing away with paper money, which is private, instead going all digital, which is traceable and taxable. The new system will lead to the tribulation's total control system, which is described very accurately in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, whereby they mark everyone and connect them back to a single computer. Sweden and China are already going totally digital. And this is a quote you know very well. the mark of the beast, 666. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Of course, the world could have never been connected in this way until the last few years. So this is the time when it's all coming to fulfillment. This is a palm sensor. It's one of many ways of identifying you just from your hands. If you pass your hand over it, it actually has technology which looks at the veins, and it spans a wide range of markets like financial, banking, retail, healthcare, public center, and entertainment. The applications include physical admission into secure areas, login to PCs or server systems, and so on, positive ID control. So this has happened in a number of places as well. This has actually come out recently. It's a study by several universities around the world into the coming chipping of people. They called it Ubervalence and the Rise of Last Mile Implantables, Past, Present, and Future. And you can find a lot of this actually still from university websites actually. This is their report. It's about smart technologies that can be implanted under our skin. And this is how it starts. As the concept of the Internet of Things gathers momentum to become the Internet of Things and People, many innovators are looking into smart technologies that are not only carried or worn, but implanted beneath the skin to form an integral part of end-to-end network architecture. In some ways, the end user is the new last mile in the global interconnected network topology formed since the rise of the IP-based core. Embodied computing technologies, such as implantable technologies in living things, that's us they're talking about, become the final security and privacy frontier in a context where every object and subject is identifiable with its unique computer address. Of course, they've been microchipping animals for about 20 years at least, or more. They have smart passports for when they go overseas, you see. This is the company that marketed the first implantable chip for humans. It's called Digital Angel. I interviewed someone at Reading University who was the first person in the world to have the chip, actually. That was a long time ago. And it's already being used by the wealthy, because they say if they microchip their children, which they're doing, something called the Chipmobile has been touring America for some time, it will prevent their children being kidnapped. They'll be able to trace them. So they'll also be able, they say, to prevent fraud and identity theft. This, by the way, can't be the mark because it's in our left hand, you see. So it's going to be in our right hand if we have it. Total control comes via money control. That's why I'm always so interested in business news. That's where you get the real nitty-gritty news. The new money system is so close to being operational that central banks probably don't care about the old one. Perhaps that's why, as I said, limitless money is being created. The new system is the forerunner of the total control system. Microsoft, Neutron, wants to connect people to digital money via their brainwaves with patent number 060606. When I took a photograph of this, I actually put it and tried to circulate it, it was blocked every time. That's the one I told you about earlier. Interesting, is it? Nothing I've ever tried to send before has been blocked ever in many, many years. It's not Microsoft's patent number that's necessarily scary, though it is a bit odd. 060606, random chance, Bill, I'm sure. It's the drawing that accompanied the application. It shows a human connected by sensors to the bank via the internet. The drawing has no physical connection between the human and the sensors. Rather, brainwaves are being transmitted to the sensors via radio waves. Microsoft wants to implant a digital certificate into every person on Earth. And their top line heading on their patent is a cryptocurrency system using body activity data. And the patent drawing connects not only to the money to the internet, but the body to the internet. In other words, they want to insert microchips into people to mine or search their bodily activity for cryptocurrency purposes and no doubt other purposes. Basically, Microsoft expects to implant a digital certificate in every human in the world. This is how the patent application is worded. This is what I had a dickens of a job circulating. Microsoft new patent application. Here it is. I took a photograph of it. It's very hard to get to. It's their patent on 060606. The device will read your mind. Their device is designed to mine images or search for and look at what you're thinking. This means you can think about moving money from one account to another and the images will be read and acted upon. Bill Gates said in a recent Ask Me Anything session on Reddit, of course there are some things that he probably wouldn't have answered if we'd have been there, eventually we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently from the virus, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it. This is a major step forward. Two-way communication between humans and computers. A Fitbit that sporting people wear, for instance, doesn't read brainwaves. It just records information. Vaccines and digital money. Are vaccines and digital dollars connected? In case you're not connecting all the dots to this, the world elites want to use digital currency to force people to take the vaccines. No vaccine, if you won't have it, okay? No banking, no vaccine, no flight, no vaccines, no anything. You're out of the loop. You're not connected to society. You starve or you take it. That's their sort of, they haven't said that, I'm saying that. Microsoft's patent doesn't mention vaccines, but the new DNA vaccines could easily be part of the inserted chip as it's mining bodily information. Here's Bill. He's working from home with just his little dog for company and his homemade sign, you see. He's a down-home, normal kind of bloke, just like us, really. Although his home is 66,000 square feet, but he made his own sign. But Gates says, this is an interview with the Financial Times in April, you have no choice, talking to the world. You don't have a choice. Normalcy can only return or only returns when we have vaccinated the entire global population. There's quotes from this in papers that people don't read, like the Financial Times, and on business programs that you don't get it in the general news media. And this is why I scan it. I spent days getting all this together. But the Lord gave us free will. Luke 21, verse 36 says, keep on the alert at all times. We only can be on the alert if we know what's going on, of course. Praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 says, the true church will be kept from the hour of testing about to come upon the world. And it certainly is quickly. Here is some information for someone who's quite well known, who's fighting this. He's on our side, actually. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's chairman of the board of something called the Children's Health Defense Organization. And they call what's going on from Bill Gates vaccine fundamentalism. In other words, you must have it or else. The Bill Gates effect, this is what they said on their website. World Health Organization's vaccine, DTP vaccine, killed more children in Africa than the diseases it targeted. And they quoted detailed scientific analysis, which I've read in some detail this week. Girls vaccinated with this vaccine, which is the flagship of Bill Gates' World Health Organization African vaccine program, died at least 10 times the rate of unvaccinated children. The researchers suggested that the vaccine is killing more children than the disease it targets. They said it's possible millions of children are being adversely affected. So this thing is serious. This is what he said. Gates boosters will accuse me. This isn't Robert Kennedy, it's one of his contributors. Gates boosters will accuse me of promoting vaccine misinformation. They always say, oh, it's a phony news story, it's misinformation. This is the truth. This is from a peer-reviewed publication in a respected journal by the world's most authoritative vaccine scientist describing catastrophic outcomes. Shouldn't we be, they say, this writer on the Kennedy website, Shouldn't we be scrutinizing Bill Gates' record in Africa before we let him dictate which medicines we need to take? By muzzling legitimate criticism as anti-vax, the media avoids honest debate on many damning studies like this one. And this is all part of a plan that's been being assembled for many years, hundreds of years, but it's gathered pace recently. Back about, some many years ago, I was sent, they wanted me to become the World Federation people who were actually bringing this together, wanted me to join them and become a delegate to their conference. And I was running, one of the things we were running, there was a business newspaper at the time, so they thought I'd be a useful contact. And their motto is only one Earth. And they gave me all the plans for the coming world government in very great detail, how control of the seabeds would come and so on. We learned it from other sources as well. And a lot of this, 20 years ago, was incorporated into the UN's charter. This is the logo of the UN's Agenda 21 plan to force all nations to adhere to so-called green rules to allegedly save the planet. The news for them that they don't know or understand is that only one person is going to come to save this planet. It's not any of these politicians or schemers. Our Lord is coming back to save the planet. Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally and locally by organizations of the UN system, governments and major groups in every area in which human impacts on the environment. Agenda 21 has been adopted by 178 governments. Basically, it stops farmers using rainwater to sort of use in their own fields, that kind of thing. I mean, it's so many restrictions, you wouldn't believe it if you look at it. A lot of people are unhappy and feeling very much that they're being let down by their governments. There's a great move against the established order in some areas where people are saying, we need better leadership, we need a strong leader. Lebanon's government was the first to succumb because there's riots there after their horrific accident on the waterfront of Beirut. And they said that it's spreading in many countries, including Israel. People are demanding stronger leadership. It's happening all over America. Every day there are riots by people trying to bring the system down, you see. Black Lives Matter is nothing about black lives. It's all about Marxism and control. There was a riot in Portland, Oregon, a couple of days ago, and two old ladies sort of stood in front of a group of rioters and tried to stop them spray painting all the building they lived in. They were very badly treated and covered in paint and so on. And that's how they treat people. And one of the rioters said to them, this is not your planet now. So that's how they regard people that get in their way. But it's all designed to bring the system down and create a new system. And I follow, this is one of the programs I watch every day at Fast Forward. It's CNBC's Squawk Box. It's business news. This is a business commentator. And she is saying that don't expect much from current global leaders. They're pointing out that the present global leadership is useless. We need someone new, you see. This is the UN Secretary General. I saw this about 2 days ago. He said, we must have global leadership and coordination to combat the coronavirus. You can't do it country by country. It's all going to be joined together and fought with vaccines, you see. And this was what one of the early promoters of the EU said over, well, it's about 70 years ago, Paul-Henri Spaak, we need a strong man. You will hear this call going out a lot now. We do not want another committee. We've got too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. We are at the moment. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him. That's the lie of the land and the way that the world is moving. Hitler tried to unite Europe under one government. He wanted a new Europe with a common currency, which they got pretty much, one government and one law. He called his plan the New World Order. He was ahead of his time. Is the Antichrist around today? Oh, almost certainly. He's waiting in the wings for the call for the strong world leader that the world needs. It certainly needs some better politicians. I don't know about a strong man, but we'll see. Because dictators ride in on the back of economic chaos. The present crisis is only just getting started. It could be the beginning of sorrows, that's for sure. It's far from over. I'm expecting food shortages and ever more violence. Pensions, healthcare, and even social security are at risk. Christians will have to trust the Lord and help one another. Because once they've destroyed the economy, and it's pretty much destroyed, there's not going to be any money left to pay for anything like social services or health service or whatever. What's going to happen? There's going to be utter chaos for a while. So the man, the strong man, is waiting for the right moment. And I think he is alive. And again, the world is lining up against Israel. So the scene out there is set like no other time in history. We've never seen anything like it. In the last 2,000 years, I know we've had world wars, but nothing on quite like this. We are close to the Lord's return. The rapture could be today. There's nothing that needs to happen really before the rapture. That will be the curtain raiser for the final days of the end times. Who will Antichrist be? Well, Daniel tells us he will be of Italian descent. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. He's described as the prince who is to come and from the people who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. It's referring, of course, to Jerusalem and the temple, which were destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. So according to Daniel, the Antichrist must be of Roman heritage. And the two division states, Rome and Constantinople, began in 364 AD under Emperor Valentinian. So he will be Roman. After sacking Jerusalem in 70 AD, the Arch of Titus was built by the Roman commander. It shows they're parading triumphantly with the vessels looted from the temple, carrying aloft. You can see the Israeli temple looting objects there. The arch now is part of the Roman Forum. The spoils went west to Rome. It was a Roman army, the 10th Legion, that did the destruction. They were recruited from Sicily and Calabria. Antichrist will be Roman. People say, oh, well, the Roman legions were comprised of all kinds of people. That's true, but this one, this particular legion, came from what is now Italy. So there will be either chaos and war, and there will be chaos and war, or eventually the New World Order, not too far away. And a new kind of power structure could appear, and the man of sin could emerge backed by a gold-based global currency, because people will need to have confidence in it. Because since 1971, the dollar, the reserve currency of the world at the moment, has been backed by nothing, just promises, paper promises. No paper money has ever lasted as long, and its time is up. And Colin touched on this last week about the 10 regions, the 10 regional groupings, the 10 kings, 10 leaders of regions. Well, the Millennium Development Goals of the UN have been in place for 20 years, and they include 10 regions of the world. It's all been set up, you see, already long ago, actually, 20 years. So, looking at the state of the world, it can be depressing for the worldly, but for the believers, we have to look to the blessed hope. He is our only hope. Romans 15, verse 13. This is one to really reflect on and get into our hearts. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We needn't despair, depressing though the times can be, but we will escape the wrath to come. That is the good news. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. From 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. So we must not despair. This is the very good news. Psalm 2, verse 4. Looking at all these plots and schemes and plans by so-called world leaders, whose time is short on the world, I mean, they've got very little time left before judgment. A lot of them are quite old people. Well, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. They have no real power. They think they have, but it's fleeting. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So, whatever it seems like, the truth is We know who will have the last laugh. There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. We have hope because God is with us always. This is the good news. Isaiah 54, verse 10. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, those who love the Lord. So Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.